please come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Wednesday, January 28th. Anderson, District 2.
Here.
Anderson, District 28.
Here.
Barnard. Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Here.
Case.
Here.
Christensen.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Dockstetter.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Escobel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hicks, Hastert.
Here.
Hicks.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Kinski.
Here.
Landon. Meyer.
Here.
Pappas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Rothfuss.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Von Platern.
Here. Oh, you put it in my pick.
Wasserberger. President Nicholas.
Here.
30 present.
Prayer by Reverend Gilbert.
Pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of Tuesday, January the 27th, 2015, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Jeff Wasserberger, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. New business, our nurse of the day is Dr. Broomfield. Let's see here. And there is no nurse of the day, we just have a doctor. In 1955, Mary Gaudet Bellamy, Wyoming's first female legislator, died in Laramie. She served in the House from 1910 to 1912 and again in 1918 to 1920. The status of the session of today is we're completing day 12 in the proposed 37-day session. Today at noon is the last day for Senate file drafts to be approved by the sponsor and returned to the LSO. And so you've got a few hours, Senator Meyer, to get the balance of your quiver in there. I think the other message, the Senate staffs today is hosting a taco bar for the lunch. Is that right? All right. That takes us to Mr. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to ask for a re-referral. Senate File 123 by Senator Kinski, Collective Bargaining for Firefighters. I'd like it to be re-referred to your Minerals Committee.
Without objection, Senate File 123 is re-referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Any further announcements? Messages from the House.
January the 27th, 2015, from the House of Representatives. Message number 156, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 89, Wyoming Legal Tender Act, ayes 28, noes 32. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Message number 157, Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 102, Property Tax Sales Highest Bidder, ayes 11, noes 48, excused 1. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
With that order of business of introduction and reading and reference of bills. Oh, I didn't see anything. I take that back. That's fine. We have reports. You want to do the bills or the standing committee reports? Standing committee reports.
January the 28th, 2015, Mr. President, Committee Number 5, Agricultural State Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 80, Trespassing to Collect Data, Civil Cause of Action, recommends that it reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes. Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emmerich, and Geis, Senator Geis, Chairman. January the 28th, 2015, Mr. President, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 108, reports back 108, Access to Private Land Restriction, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Geis, no, Senators Emmerich, Senator Geis, Chairman.
Now are we at reading? Now we're at that business of reading reference bills. Senate File 132, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 132, Wyoming Fair Housing Act, sponsored by Senator Scott.
Senate File 132 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate File 136, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 136, Expedited EMT Licensing, sponsored by Senator Kinski.
Senate File 136 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Senate Joint Resolution Number 7, first reading of the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution 7, Resolution Declaring Chicano History Week, sponsored by Senator Esquivel.
Senate Joint Resolution number 7 is referred to Committee number 1, Judiciary. Senate File number 6. No, let me. Senate File 133, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 133, Bighorn Sheep Relocation, sponsored by Senator Cooper.
Senate File 133 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File 134.
Senate File 134, Bighorn Sheep Plan, sponsored by Senator Hicks.
Senate File 134 is assigned to Committee Number 6, Travel. Senate File 128, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 128, Election Runoffs, sponsored by Senator Meyer.
Senate File 128, the first Meyer bill, assigned to Committee Number 7.
No.
Senate File 127, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 127, Transportation and Education Revenue Distribution, sponsored by Senator Meyer.
Senate File 127 is assigned to Committee Number 11. Senate File Number 127 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, just for the benefit of the body, I remember one time seeing a bill assigned to the Journal Committee, which then, in fact, did report it out, and it did pass. The bill was the one that established the Poet Laureate, and Speaker Morton felt that Journal Committee was the appropriate place for it.
Senate File 137, second Meyer bill, so first reading of the bill. Third one, actually.
Senate File 137, Farm License Plates, sponsored by Senator Meyer.
Senate File 137 is assigned to Committee Number 8, Transportation. Senate File 130, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 130, Lottery Commission Reporting Requirements, sponsored by Senator Burns.
Senate File 130 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 131, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 131, Minimum Wage Staged Increase, sponsored by Senator Hastert.
Senate File 131 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Senate File 135, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 135, Misclassification of Employees Penalty, sponsored by Senator Hastert.
Senate File 135 is assigned to Committee Number 9, Minerals. That order of business bills on second reading. For that order of business bills on second reading. Senate File 45, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 45. Digital Information Privacy Task Force reappropriation.
Senate 45, I see no amendments. Any discussion? Senate File 45, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 47, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 47, City Engineer's Duty to Estimate Project Cost.
No amendments, no discussion. Senate File 47, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 57, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 57, School Facilities Appropriations.
No amendments, discussion. Senate File 57, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 78, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 78, Education Dual Language Immersion Programs.
No amendments, no discussion. Senate File 78, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 81, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 81, Lifesaver Program 2.
Senate File 81, there are no amendments. There is discussion. Senator Johnson.
A privilege of the floor, Mr. President.
You may have.
Thank you. Yesterday when we were discussing the Project Lifesaver bill, I told you I would get back to you with the cost of the transmitter, and you and I all had it the whole time anyway on this leaflet that was passed out. So each transmitter is $250.
Senator Case.
President, I've been listening to this bill, and I think it's really great idea to have use technology to help protect these people. What I don't understand, Mr. President, is why this has to be a government function. I've looked on the internet. I find that there are several companies that offer similar services for private individuals. It could be done privately. You could do it for your loved one. You know, I could envision that if you had a specialty unit, say, that dealt with people that had a certain, maybe Alzheimer's disease, they could offer that as part of their services, that these would be available. I'm not sure why we have to do it through a government program to establish grants to counties and then have county law enforcement administer this program. Now, I realize that these people might be needy and be poor and unable to afford the program through any other means, but we could also develop a program where we give grants to the individuals, not necessarily to the law enforcement agencies. So I've been mulling all this over, trying to see why this has to be done by government when the technology is out there. If you search for tracking devices for Alzheimer's patients, there are lots of vendors. It's pretty straightforward. I would like more discussion about that. I'm thinking of bringing an amendment.
Discussion on the bill. Any more discussion before returning to the... There will be no discussion. Senate File 81, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senator Kinski. You may have it.
Mr. President, it is my pleasure to introduce to the body our two newest interns, both from Sheridan. Here we have Anna Lynham and Ann Giljam. Please give them a warm Wyoming Senate welcome. Mr. President, I just want to share with you that Ann Giljam, Ann and Anna as they're fondly called. Ann is a member of this year's SHS Winners of the State We the People Championship. And Anna was a member of last year's and also was recently awarded the Daniels Scholarship, which is a 100% ride to any school in the United States. So congratulations to them both.
Wow. Senator Burns.
Mr. President,
I don't want to be nitpicky about it, but Senator Kinski actually reversed him. It was Anna that won the We the People scholarship this year, and Ann, We the People championship, and Ann who got the scholarship.
I stand so corrected, Mr. President.
Well, congratulations, and we're glad to have you home. Any college in the United States, I don't know, Hawaii looks pretty good about right now. Senate File 90, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 90, Medicaid Chiropractic Services 2.
Any discussion? There being none. Senate File 90, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 92, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 92, Workers' Compensation County Elected Officials.
Any discussion? No amendments? Senate File 92, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 97, before we go to that, it's on this bill. Senate File 97, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 97, Department of Transportation Communication Facilities.
We have discussion, Senator Bebout, and there is an amendment. If you'd read the amendment in, please.
Senate File 97, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 5.
Thank you. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 97. Members of the Senate, you will recall this is a bill that we discussed yesterday, Department of Transportation Communication Facilities allowing or telling the YDOT to lease communication facilities to telecommunication companies. Mr. President, what this amendment does, if that should in fact happen, it says that any funds received from that shall be deposited into the state general fund. A lot of reasons for doing that, Mr. President. We use general fund money to install a lot of these. I'd like to track and see how successful it might be. If we don't do this, we'll never know, and it goes into the big pot over there at Whiteout. So I think it should go to the general fund. I'll be glad to stand for any questions, answer any questions.
Discussion on the amendment. There being no discussion, the question is on second reading amendment number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Senate File 97, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 98, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 98, School Athletic Safety.
Senate File 98. No amendments, no discussion. Senate File 98, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 103, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 103, Bicycle Pathways and Highway Separation.
No objections, no discussion. Senate File 103. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're now at third reading. Consent list. Thank you.
We're at that order of business, third reading of bills. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, yes, we do. We do have a consent list, and I would move the consent list for the following Senate files. Senate File 3, Right to Try. Senate File 29, Motor Vehicle License, Driver's License Exemptions, Substitute Bill Number 1. Senate File 42, Task Force on Mineral Taxes. Senate File 55, Omnibus Water Bill Planning. Senate File 63, Predator Ownership. Senate File 100, Prescription Drug Monitoring Program Amendments. Senate File 101, Veterans in State Tuition. And Senate File 106, Powdered Alcohol.
Would any member like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'd ask to have Senate File 106 removed from the consent list for discussion.
Any further files removed? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 3, Right to Try. Senate File 29, Motor Vehicle Driver's License Exemptions. Substitute Number 1. Senate File 42, Task Force on Mineral Taxes. Senate File 55, Omnibus Water Bill Planning. Senate File 63, Predator Ownership. Senate File 100, Prescription Drug Monitoring Program Amendments. And Senate File 101, Veterans In-State Tuition. The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
On the consent list, Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Dockstetter,
Driscoll,
excused,
Emmerich,
aye.
Escobel,
aye.
Geis,
aye.
Hastert,
aye.
Hicks,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Kinski,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Pappas,
aye.
Perkins, Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Rothfuss,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Von Platern,
aye.
Wasserberger,
aye.
President Nicholas,
aye.
On the consent list, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 3, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 3, 29 aye, 1 excused. Senate File 29, are there any changes? Landon, aye to no. Rothfuss, aye to no. Kraft, aye to no. Von Platern, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Barnard, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 29. 23 aye, 6 no, 1 excused. Senate File 42, are there any changes? Scott, aye to no. Closing vote. Perkins, aye to no. Meyer, aye to no. Closing vote. Hastert, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 42, 25 aye, 4 no, 1 excused. Senate File 55, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 55, 29-I, 1 excused. Senate File 63, are there any changes? Case, I to no. Scott, I to no. Perkins, I to no. Dockstetter, I to no. Christensen, I to no. Closing Hastert, I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 63, 23-I, 6-No, 1 excused. Senate File 100, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 100, 29-I, 1 excused. Senate File 101, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 101, 29-I, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate Files 3, 29, 42, 55, 63, 100, and 101 have passed the Senate. Thank you. Senate File 106, third reading of the bill.
Senate File 106, powdered alcohol, sponsored by Senator Landon. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are no amendments. We do have discussion. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I just wanted to have a chat before we voted on this about what this legislation is and isn't doing. And Mr. President, I certainly understand the concern of the sponsor, and I appreciate that concern. And there can be mischief, and there can be difficult situations on the campus because you have this powdered alcohol. But the reality is it's not the powder form of it that's the problem. It's just the fact that you have an intense alcohol that's actually still less intense than what you can buy if you're buying pure alcohol in a liquor store that causes these problems. It's the alcohol itself, the ethanol in this product that is the concern, and it's a cause of concern frequently. It's just something that we have in our society that leads to problems and difficulties, certainly on campuses and colleges, but elsewhere as well, that is at the heart of this. There's nothing unique about this substance. It's not magical. You can see, Mr. President, that I prepared a batch here that a lot of people have had a good look at of what is effectively powdered alcohol so that we can take a look at what it is and how it behaves, and I appreciate the fact that a lot of folks in the Senate have come over here and taken a good look at it on a few occasions, including Mr. President himself, who I think now understands powdered alcohol better than he did 2 days ago. So we've educated ourselves as a body, Mr. President. I appreciate that. The reality is it's simply alcohol that actually tastes kind of bad because of the powder that's being used, but it's not a new substance. It's not a new chemical. It is that ethanol molecule sticking to a little bit of starch. The volume is not decreasing. It's less potent than it would be if you just took the alcohol I started with and drank some of that. So the intrinsic problem that we're trying to solve here, unfortunately, is one that we're not going to be able to solve for this legislation, and that's the irresponsible use of alcohol by our students, our education communities, and other folks throughout the state, and this is not going to tackle that problem. Mr. President, making this illegal. Possession of this, not just the sale, not just the manufacture, but actually the simple possession of this, an illegal thing, it just doesn't make sense, and it's not consistent with our other statutes. Typically, you're identifying a new substance and then we're calling that illegal. But again, it's just the alcohol here. If I want to return this to a legal state, assuming that this passes, I will simply pour a little bit of water into this bowl. It becomes legal again because all of the powder dissolves, the ethanol goes into solution, and then I've got a legal substance that we can drink, which is just exactly as bad or good as it was before I poured the water into it. There's no bright line here. There's no clear delineation, and we're not addressing the key concern of this problem. Furthermore, Mr. President, we had some discussion about really what this would apply to, and this may sound a little bit absurd, but depending on the order of operations where I'm adding ingredients to a cake as I'm baking it, if I add the flour first and the alcohol second, I'm now in violation of this until I pour a third ingredient into it under certain circumstances. That's how unclear the line is on this potential statute. I think we're not getting at the heart of what we want to do here. I think there's a lot of need to address the concerns that my friend, the good sponsor, is bringing, but this is not it. And I appreciate my friend from Natrona County bringing me a little extra water in case I need to rapidly, upon passage of this bill, indemnify myself from any potential prosecution. Thank you, Mr. President. On and against this bill.
The end of rum cake.
As we know it.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm certainly not the world's best scientist, and I didn't do well at chemistry, even though I taught science. But I want to speak less from the science point of view to that of being a parent, a grandparent, and I will proudly say almost lifetime advocate of kids. I'm going to read from a set of talking points that was given to me earlier today that made a lot of sense to me, and it comes from Colorado. Product that has yet for sale in Colorado is already facing a problem, a possible ban. It's powdered alcohol and sometimes commonly known as palcohol. It says that federal investigators approved powdered alcohol last year and then rescinded their decision, saying they need to evaluate how much alcohol is in each packet. Some lawmakers say that the product is just too dangerous and they want to prevent it from being sold in Colorado, and I would say the same for Wyoming. Joanne Windholz, Republican from Adams, I'm sorry for the use of I withdraw that in terms of a personal name. Anyway, one of the representatives in Colorado says, I'm sure a lot of parents don't even know powdered alcohol exists, and this representative is carrying a bill that would then ban powdered alcohol in our southern state. It can be in different flavors, it can be in different colors, it can be ingested in all different ways, and it could be even snorted. The head of the emergency medicine department at Denver Health, the medical center, a doctor by name, says they are seeing a growing number of kids drunk from powdered alcohol. We've had a few that have been very, very intoxicated. One in particular said, I know that had needed to have a breathing, one person that had to have a breathing tube inserted. Goes on to say most of the parents or patients are underage, and they say they bought the product online for its novelty and easy portability, but it's also risky, and he goes on to say worries it could be deadly to kids. In conclusion, if it is ingested in powder form, it goes to the bloodstream faster. In a child, the body mass is so much smaller. The company that owns, and I guess this is the name, so powdered alcohol, says that each 1 ounce packet is the equivalent of a shot of liquor that causes concern. It might lead to the kind of overdoses that had happened with edible marijuana. And I would simply say this is a step down a dangerous road. I would urge your defeat of the bill before you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I thought we might have an opportunity to visit a little bit further about this. And my good friend from Laramie and I have had some good discussion. We've even had a little bit of fun, and he's proven that you can take the contents out of your pillow and add a little bit of alcohol to it, and you got feathered alcohol feathers, whatever. You know, you certainly can make this at home. We've proven that. But to that, I would just say, you know, there's a lot of things I can make at home, and you don't want them legal out on the street. This product gave me enough pause that it really, nobody had to come to me with this notion before I decided that we ought to take a look at it down here. As I mentioned to you before, I was sitting in my office where we ponder things even more nowadays because there's all kinds of pressures for concerns like Title IX. The Office of Civil Rights back at the federal level is really putting downward pressure on our colleges and our universities to get a handle on some of these things and to try to do what we can to curb this. If you follow the line of thinking brought by my good friend from Laramie, then you would simply say, well, we don't have to make this illegal. And if we don't, then what the ramifications are is that it's going to be even more available to the kids. And if you think they're not marketing this to the under 21 age group, all you have to do is go to that handout that we provided for you a couple days ago. That's exactly who they're targeting. And believe me, it's a lot different than that stuff in that bowl right there. This commercially produced product is a lot more potent, it's a lot more flavorful, and it's got some great packaging to it. I just think, you know, I'm not a zookeeper. There's days in my day job that I feel like a zookeeper. But I've been told that it's a lot easier to keep that tiger in the cage if you just bolster that cage a little bit. You let him out, it's a lot tougher to chase him down. I think this is a good bill. I think it's a good move for our state to stiff arm this product for now. We can always revisit. We can bring it to my good friend right behind me here at some point. If it's approved by the FDA, we can certainly talk about that down the line, Mr. President. But today, I think it's a bill that we need to pass. Thank you.
Mr. President,
for the second time, Senator Anderson.
For the second time, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to correct an earlier statement that I made in regard to defeat of the bill. I most certainly support the bill. My misstatement might well be a result of those vapors coming over here upon the chamber. So, again, I would urge you to vote for the bill. Thank you.
Further discussion? Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, thank you to the body of the Senate members. Now, we pride ourselves in Wyoming about being pro-business and respecting the free market. Well, I'd ask you to recall that in this case, the very people that are charged with distributing, the ones that stand to make the money, the liquor retailers, have taken a strong stand against this. And I think part of the reason is when we see some of the abuses and some of the horror stories that result in the abuse of alcohol, quite often we go right back at those retailers, at those distributors, and we want to hold them accountable. Well, here we have a case, the free market, the business, they're saying, we don't want this. We believe this is not good business, and we're not looking for it. Why would we want to bring something out there with that kind of opposition that looks, is packaged, and resembles candy when you have small children who can't take a shot of hard liquor? But if you show them some powder that looks like every other candy out there, it would be pretty enticing.
Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, Mr. President. In some part, I agree with the good senator from the Ivory Towers that the heart of the problem here is the alcohol. There was that statement that I heard that's causing the difficulties. So let's not add to the difficulties. Let's prohibit the use of this and still address the intrinsic problem that he said. Let's vote in favor of this bill. Let's get it taken care of.
Senator Blader, for your second time.
Mr. President, I think it's my first time, but that's all right. I hope I don't have to stand up again.
Oh, let's I'm sorry. It's your
That's
first
right. Time. We can move this right along, and I'll be the last one. Taking the opposite side of my deskmate's argument about the retailers that don't want this sold, it's also because we could be fencing out a new product, a product that still, if legal in this state, will have to run through the liquor warehouse. So it's not like we're stopping the product. If we pass this bill, we're stopping the product. But I would say the support from the retailers comes more from the idea of fencing out a possible competitor.
Further discussion? For your second time, Senator Landon.
President, I just wanted to mildly disagree with my friend from Gillette in the fact that when we hold those bar owners accountable for what's being served in those establishments, it's pretty easy to cut somebody off at a certain point in a given night's drinking. But then the minute you turn your back, that glass of water that you just served that person has about 2 packets of this stuff in it. So when we're holding them accountable and they're saying, we don't want to have to try to police this, we don't want to try to get our arms around it, I think we have to respect that. So thank you, Mr. President.
At the end of the debate, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. All good points, Mr. President. There's a couple of them I really want to address. The concept of the parent's responsibility, I think, is really what it comes down to. My good friend from Converse County brought that up. You know, I'm going to have conversations with my kids if this goes onto the market and make sure that they're aware of it, make sure they understand it. But I'm going to do that anyway with alcohol. That's a conversation I need to have so that they understand. It's a problem already right now because not all alcoholic drinks are created equally, and they need to understand that. You can buy alcoholic drinks that taste like candy. You can buy them that taste harsh, and it's the same type of concept. We're trying to ban something that effectively is already in the marketplace in roughly the same form but looks a little bit differently. The concept that we're seeing a growing number of cases and that this is becoming a problem, Mr. President, is a bit of a boogeyman. I don't know if anyone in here had ever heard of this other than my friend from Natrona County before arriving here a couple days ago and seeing it on the bill list. It might be a problem at some point. It might not. But the claims that are being made about the rapidity of drunkenness and how quickly it goes to your bloodstream are just unreasonable. The idea that this would go more rapidly than a liquid phase, I don't know where that came from or how anyone would do that analysis, but again, it's right here. Admittedly, and I agree with my friend from Natrona County, the recipe I used probably isn't as good as the recipe that would be used by a professional manufacturer since I simply poured 2 components together in a glass bowl. I also admit, Mr. President, that my packaging is mediocre at best, and it doesn't look or taste anything like candy. So he's got me on all counts on that. But at the same time, the chemistry is the same. The physics behind this is the same, and you're not going to absorb that into your bloodstream any more quickly. You're not going to be able to snort it. If you do a little bit of research of anybody who's tried to snort this, and typically they're just trying to snort it because they're reading about the news articles regarding states trying to ban it because people are snorting it. And really, if you look around, that's the only instance of anybody snorting it I can find, and everybody says immediately afterwards that they will never, ever consider doing that again because it's a perfectly excruciating situation that gets them nowhere and certainly doesn't make them drunk. So we're seeing a lot of things that go bump in the night, and we're trying to ban something for it. Now, we talked about the fact that we're pro-business and pro-free market, and I agree that banning this from the market is probably not pro-free market. What is pro-free market is letting businesses choose whether or not they want to sell this, because I assure you, if we don't pass this legislation, Mr. President, if a company, if a business, if a restaurant or provider doesn't want to sell this, they're going to be free not to sell this. That's a choice they can certainly make. But one of the other things, Mr. President, that I think we are sent here for and we pride ourselves in is not going with big government to solve all problems. Not simply saying, hey, here's something that we might not like. Step one, let's ban that. Let's make it illegal and potentially send someone to jail for it. This is the same substance that we already have problems with. All of the symptoms, all of the difficulties that we're going to have are because of the alcohol content, and they are consistent with all of the problems that we have with alcohol in similar circumstances, which requires more education, it requires better programs, and it requires a lot of consideration. But unless we're planning on banning alcohol, which was tried once and it was problematic, this is not going to get us a step further. So perhaps education, programs, better understanding might be a better approach than simply banning something because it's new and we think it might be bad.
Senate File 106 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2.
Aye.
Anderson District 28.
Aye.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
No.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Dockstetter. Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
No.
Hicks.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Kinski.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson. Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Fladern?
No.
Wasserberger?
Aye.
President Nicholas?
No.
Closing vote? Closing? Hastert, no to aye? Closing vote? Closing? Vote closed. 23 aye, 7 no.
Senate File 106. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elect the Senate, Senate File 106 has passed the Senate. I guess now the House people won't know what to look at. Senator Kinski.
President, privilege of the floor, please.
You may have it.
It is my privilege to introduce to you a dear friend from Sheridan, a man who heard our Savior's admonition to look out for the least amongst you, former director of the Wyoming Girls' School and now pursuing his ministerial vocation with Volunteers of America. Please welcome Mr. Gary Copsa.
Senator Hastert.
Privilege of the floor.
You may.
Members of the Senate, up in the gallery over here to my left is the members of the Wyoming Coalition Against Domestic Violence. They have staff members and program directors from all around the state, from all of your districts here, so I'd like you to welcome them to the Senate.
Senator Dockstetter.
Mr. President, I'd like to take a moment to introduce in our foyer above us here, on behalf of Pastor Tim Moyer of the Emmanuel Bible Church of Star Valley. He's joined by 50 plus pastors in our balcony here to support passage of House Bill 83 and following the process here in Cheyenne. Would we please welcome them?
Message has been read in. We're ready for general file. Okay. Are those House messages? Okay. We have some committee reports to read in.
January the 28th, 2015. Mr. President, your committee number one judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 77. Ignition Interlock License Amendment, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye. Senators Christensen, Esquivel, Hicks, and Kinsey, and Von Flader, and Senator Christensen, Chairman. January the 28th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 75, Child Support Enforcement Amendments, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Esquivel, Hicks, Kinsey, Von Flader, and Senator Christensen, Chairman. January the 28th, 2015, Mr. President, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 75, Child Support Enforcement Amendment, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Esquivel, Hicks, Kinsky, Von Flader, and Senator Christensen, Chairman. January the 28th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 73, Forcible Entry and Detainer Amendments, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Christensen, Esquivel, Hicks, Kinsey, Von Flader, and Senator Christensen, Chairman. January the 28th, 2015, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 119, Hospice Respite Care, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Kraft, Driscoll, Landon, Peterson, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business's bill on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into committee of the whole to discuss bills on general file.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Senator Dockstader, please approach the bench.
Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill up for our consideration is Senate File 36. Reading clerk, read the bill.
Senate File 36, Personal Identification Information Definitions, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, Myers, Pappas, and Scott, Senator Scott, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Chairman Case.
Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 35, Security Breach Notification. Mr. President, there is a Standing Committee Amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 36, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 3, line 4.
Chairman Case.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the amendment that was read in, he said Senate File 36. It should be Senate File 35.
It's 36 on the right.
36.
Senator Case, we have 36.
Well, then I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, do so with due pass recommendation on Senate File 36, Mr. Chairman, and stand totally embarrassed here before you. But I would also like to move the Standing Committee Amendment that was correctly read in, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 36, and thankfully I get to yield to the very successful Senator from over the hill, Senator Rothfuss.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this is one of the products of the Digital Information Privacy Task Force. We've spent an awful lot of time working with industry trying to update the definitions that we're using in statute for personal identifying information, and that's the heart of this Senate File 36, is that update. Senators, personal identifying information is used in two places in statute currently. It's used in consumer fraud and identity theft, and it's used in security breach notification requirements. So right now in statute, we have two different definitions. One of the intentions of the Digital Information Privacy Task Force was to bring those two definitions together and to update those for sort of a 21st century approach, recognizing that technology has changed significantly. Mr. President, or Mr. Chairman, going into the legislation, you can see that what we're doing on page 2 is extending the current list. There was previously a list of what's considered for personal identifiable information for the fraud and identity theft area, and we've called out additional data elements. The early ones are basically the same as they were previously, where you've got address, telephone number, social security number, et cetera. But on the page 3 is where you start getting into some of the newer concepts, with Romanet 8, shared secrets, security tokens, or knowledge-based authentication. Those, body, are the little identifiers that you use when you're logging into an account. For example, a verification purpose, it says, what was your mother's maiden name? What city were you born in? What was your birthday? Or perhaps it shows you a small picture that helps you to recognize that you're on the right site. Those are the types of concepts there. Additionally, you can see in Romanet 9, usernames and email addresses. In Romanets 11 and 12, you've got medical information and health insurance related information. And then in Romanet 13, on page 4, you've got biometric data. So there's some additions and modernizations of the definitions that we're using for personal identifiable information. And then finally on page 4, it goes into the data breach notification language and conforms that the personal identifiable information that's used in that area is going to refer back to the definition from previously exempting Romanets 1 and 2, which are address and telephone number, recognizing that a release of a phone book would constitute a data breach, and obviously that's not the intention of a data breach notification. So it uses the same definition, but changes the applicable Romanets for triggering that breach. That's the original concept of the bill. Again, we worked with industry substantially in the interim, but we've still been going back and forth with them since that point, and they brought some additional suggestions and concerns with the language as it was being presented after the interim work, and that's what we see in the form of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Everything in the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been negotiated with industry. We tried to come to some good compromises that kept the spirit of the changes in the personal identifiable information, but at the same time recognized some of their concerns. So I'll go through some of those right now. On page 3, line 4, one of their key concerns was with regard to our shared secrets approach because it was too broadly written. So we're amending in the Standing Committee Amendment to change it such that it would read shared secrets or security tokens that are known to be used for database-based authentication, which is consistent with the interests and narrows down the scope so that you don't accidentally release things that might be a shared token without knowing it. And that definition was then satisfactory. There was a desire on line 11 to remove death, recognizing the difficulty in a data breach situation of trying to inform the deceased that their death certificate had accidentally been released. We couldn't work around that. We decided we would strike it. It seemed pretty reasonable. On lines 13 and 14, and this is similar to the amendments on line 18 and 19, there was concern with the data breach notification that when we describe including but not limited to, there would be uncertainty as to the triggering event. So in this instance, we said meaning so that we have a narrower definition rather than the broad definition to satisfy the concern for security breach. And at the bottom of page 3 on lines 22 and 23, there's a slight amendment to that language, which was also seen as too broad. So rather than saying any information, we have or information related to a person's application and claims history so that it's specific rather than broad. And the final aspect of the Standing Committee Amendment, Mr. Chairman, is on page 4 under Romanet 13. Again, the definition of unique biometric data was not satisfactory, so we amended to replace the definition such that it would read unique biometric data, meaning data generated from measurements or analysis of human body characteristics for authentication purposes. That's both the bill and the Standing Committee amendments. If there are any questions on the Standing Committee amendments, I would answer those at this time. Otherwise, I'd call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 36.
Question on Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 36. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Back on the bill, Senate File 36.
Mr. Chairman, I'd answer any questions that the body may have. Otherwise, again, I'd call for the question if there aren't any.
All those in favor, are you ready? All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 36. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, say nay. Senate File 36 passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration, Senate File 91. Reading clerk, read the bill.
Senate File 91, Charter School Eligibility Bonus Payments, sponsored by Senator Rothus. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Anderson, O2, Coe, Dockstader, Pappas, and Rothfuss, Senator Co-Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, and Ross, Senator Wassenberger, excuse, Senator Ross, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. What, Senator Rothfuss? Senator Coe.
Forward to do so with a due pass recommendation on Senate File 91 and defer to Senator Rothfuss.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's good to be back. Mr. Chairman, Senate File 91, Charter School Eligibility Bonus Payments, attempts to correct a little difficulty in statute regarding how charter school employees and their teachers are characterized under our distributions, and particularly with regard to one-time bonus payments. So, as the body knows, charter school employees can be under different contract situations which are negotiated with the school district. They can have different pay scales and different payment conditions. So there's a unique circumstance or relationship between the charter school and the school district that helps to characterize that unique relationship. But it's still funded through the standard school model. It's still a public school, and in our system, it still has to be held to the same standards as the other schools in the district. Everything works fine as long as we're looking through the standard school model. But over the past few years, and particularly this budget, we have provided one-time salary bonus payments outside of the model in a couple of circumstances. When that happens, because of the language of statute, those payments that are supposed to augment the salary of the teachers in districts have not made it to the charter schools, and we've got three in the state right now. None of those charter schools have been able to receive those bonus payments, again, because of the statutory language. So none of it passes through. It all gets captured by the district, even though that on an ADM basis, the district is counting those teachers' salaries in the calculation for their funding model. They can capture the money and not distribute it to the salaries for the charter schools. So, Mr. Chairman, what this legislation does is clarify that if there is a one-time salary bonus, and again, this year we have $6 million of additional one-time salary bonus in the budget. We had $6 million of that last year that was supposed to be distributed through salaries and could not make it through. The additional $6 million for this school year will not be able to make it through without this revision. So this clarifies that when these one-time bonuses come through, they're supposed to be equitably distributed to charter schools on the same teacher salary basis that they would for other teachers in the district, and it helps to clarify that. And that's what we see at the bottom of page 1 and on to line 2 is some of the language that goes into discussion of employee options for charter schools and characterizes the fact that they shall be included as payroll of the school district and shall be eligible to participate in any salary adjustment for school district employees which is funded by the legislature and is in addition to the foundation program amount computed, et cetera. That's the concern that we're looking to address. On the bottom of page 2 and on to line 3, it simply says that when a new charter school is moving forward and it's negotiating its contract between the charter and the school district, it shall consider that that be part of the agreement rather than currently where that agreement is not in place. Mr. Chairman, that's the heart of the bill. Section 2 goes to a small appropriation of $20,000, and while Section 2 is very, very long in terms of how to calculate it, the gist of it is this, that for this upcoming year, we have $6 million in budget that is going to salaries specifically for the school districts. This provides $20,000 additional dollars to accommodate the teachers that otherwise will not be accommodated in addition to that $6 million, and then provides a rather complicated description of the formula used to compute that on a salary basis so that it's only going to salaries in the appropriate apportionment that it's supposed to be attributed to salaries for those teachers that are in our charter schools. Mr. Chairman, it's a rather complicated short bill, but that's the bill, and it's helping to clean up something that we identified over the last couple of years as being an unintended consequence of the way we structured some language and statute.
Discussion on the bill. Senator Bebow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question of the sponsor, retirement. Maybe you could, is there a similar situation? I do not believe so, but maybe you could discuss that.
Senator Rothfuss.
Mr. Chairman, I will double-check on that because I am not certain, but my understanding is that the retirement aspect would be going through the standard funding model and would be taken care of. I can verify that and get back to the majority floor leader with an answer on that, but my understanding is that it would be taken care of already and that we don't need to address it, but I certainly will look.
Thank you. Further discussion? Further discussion? Question on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion that when the committee of the whole rise to report that to do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 91, all those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. Senate File 91 has passed the committee of the whole. Next bill up for our consideration, Senate File 56. Reading clerk, read the bill.
Senate File 56, study on transfer of public lands, sponsored by the Natural Resource Management Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State Public Lands and Water Resources, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Christensen, Dockstader, Emick, and Geis, Senator Emmerich, Vice Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, who reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Burns, Perkins, Ross, no, Senator Hastert. Excuse, Senator Wasserberger, Senator Ross, Chairman.
Further reading the bill, what is your pleasure? Senator Emmerich.
Mr. Chairman, I move in the committee of the whole rise to report it, do so with a favorable...
It's up. It's on. It's on.
Wasn't the mic's fault. It was the operator. Mr. Chairman, I move when the committee of the whole rise to report it, do so with a do pass on Senate File 56... Transfer of public lands. There is a standing committee amendment, and I'd ask that it be read in.
Senate File 56, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1 above line 1.
Senator Emmerich.
Mr. Chairman, I move Standing Committee Number 1 to Senate File 56 and turn the discussion over to Senator Anderson, to the good senator from Glen Rock.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are two amendments, the one first being the Standing Committee Amendment, which I'll address at this time. That amendment has been moved. But the two amendments, the Standing Committee Amendment and the Committee of the Whole Amendment, are really germane to the whole bill. So I will go through the First Amendment. I think the sponsor of the Committee of the Whole Amendment, our majority leader, will go through that, and then once we get those amendments worked into the bill, we'll make a much better presentation of the bill. So we'll do the amendments, do the bill, and do it in that way. So with that, Mr. Chairman, having been moved, I call your attention to Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, What this does is you'll notice right off the bat that it changed the wording in the title. What was study of transfer of public lands by way of this amendment becomes now study on management of public lands, and I just hope that you would put that term management in your mind as we start discussing the bill at a later time. So in the catch title, Billy, transfer and insert management, that was page 1, line 1. Going on page 1, line 3, delete transfer of, delete and. Further on, line 1, page 1, line 4, delete control. Continue on, page 2, delete and. Page 2, line 3, delete the word control. And then page 2, line 12, after lands, insert under the principle of multiple use and sustained yield. Going on and further on page 2, delete transfer of title and insert the word, again, management. Finally, in this amendment, page 3, line 19, delete the word protection and insert the policy. Mr. Chairman, that then takes us to the completion of the standing committee number 1, and at this time I would delay for any questions in regard to that amendment.
Discussion on the amendment? Question on the amendment.
Question being called.
All those in favor of standing committee amendment number 1 to Senate file 1, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Standing committee amendment number 1 to Senate file 1 has passed.
Mr. Chairman, I would then defer to the majority leader in regard to the committee of the whole amendment.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would ask the committee of the whole amendment number 1 to Senate file 60 read in.
Senate file 56, committee of the whole amendment number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Bebaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I would move committee of the whole amendment number 1 to Senate file 56. Members of the Senate, what this amendment does, and I'll go through it further, is after having looked at the standing committee amendment, we worked with staff that had drafted this bill initially to be sure and be, have the clarity in there and all the language necessary to do the true intent of this bill, which is to study the management of. And, Mr. Chairman, if you'll follow me through real quick, most of it is just changing to be consistent with the previous amendment, but doing a better job of it. If you look at on page 1, line 4, after Wyoming, we insert in the state of Wyoming as specified, and we delete government of the state, which you do when you look on page 2, line 1. You can see where we delete the Senate Standing Committee amendment to this line, and we take out the, and then on page 2, line 8, we delete transfer, we put managed. Then down in the bottom of page 2, line 19, once again, we take transfer out, put manage in. Then at the bottom of that page, after line 22, we insert a comparison of the likely cost for the state of Wyoming to manage the identified land and the costs incurred by the federal government to manage those lands. Then the next two on page 3 are just renumbering, Mr. Chairman. And then we get to page 3, line 3. We add the language, including appropriate fees to charge the federal government for management of the specified lands. Then the next three, page or line 5, 11, 12, are changes to get the numbers correct. On line 12, we say we delete 2 and insert which may. Page 3, line 13, we once again delete transfer, insert the word management. Mr. Chairman, if you turn over to the second page of the Committee of the Whole Amendment, you can see that on page 3, line 16 through 20, we delete the standing committee amendment to those lines. On page 4, line 1, we delete owned and. Page 4, line 4, we insert of management by the state of Wyoming. And then the next two, we change the date. On page 5, line 2, we delete 17, put 16. And then page 5, we delete 18 and put 17. And I'd be glad to answer any questions, but really, Mr. Chairman, this is what the bill is written now and what it's intended to do, and I would ask the Senate to support this committee of the whole amendment, then we could discuss the bill in a greater depth.
Discussion on the amendment. Question on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, on the amendment, there's a discussion on charging the feds a fee for managing their lands. It would seem to me that that was not something we want to get into, that the whole point of this is that if we can persuade them to let us manage the lands, we'll do it so much better than they will, that it'll improve our economy, it'll improve the yield we get from things like mineral royalties, because it'll encourage mineral production, and that's big money, and the fees we might charge for management is small potatoes. It might be a real obstacle to get an agreement. And Mr. Chairman, in the context of the amendment, I'd like some discussion on that issue.
Majority Floor Leader Bebaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Very good points from my tall colleague from Natrona County. And understand that what we're doing here is we're studying to try to come up with an analysis if we took management over management of some specified federal lands. And when we get into discussion of the bill, you'll see the lands that we exclude from that. The theory, again, being that it's a study to see. That's one of the options on the table. Obviously, the bigger issue is for them to allow us to do it. We just tried to put that in there not to limit the things that might come forward in the study. And that's quite frankly why we're doing it. That's one of the options. And when we talk about this, we're even thinking about some pilot programs. But certainly what we don't want to do is we don't want to take over management of the federal lands, receive no revenues or minerals, or revenues from our minerals or anything else from it, and incur the costs. So that's why we put it in there.
Further discussion on the amendment? Question on the amendment? Question being called, Committee of the Whole, Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 56. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay. Back on the bill. Senate File 56. Discussion.
Approve both amendments. I'll attempt to go through the bill in such a way that recognizes the insertion of both amendments. If I miss something, or you can correct me, but I think I have these amendments worked into the bill in a manner that I can present the bill. First of all, going barely back at the beginning, this has now become a study on management of public lands, and this then becomes an act relating to public lands, providing that the Office of State Lands and Investment shall commission a study, again a study, and it would provide for a report addressing then the management of public lands in Wyoming by the state of Wyoming as specified, continuing on specifying what the study shall not include. The sections in the bill will talk about, those special lands as national parks and other things. And providing for an appropriation and, of course, the dates. Anyway, in Section 1, again, the Office of State Lands Investment shall commission a study to address the management of specified federally administered public lands in the state of Wyoming. Going on to page 2, the state of Wyoming, by the state of Wyoming. And then it goes on to talk about those things in regard to the study shall include, line 7, an identification of public lands to be managed and the interests, the rights, and the uses associated with these lands. Line 11, the development of a proposed plan for the administration, and again here was inserted, management and use of public lands under the principles of multiple use and sustained yield. That includes, but is not limited to, a pledge to maintain public access to the lands for hunting, fishing, recreation, subject to the closure for special circumstances, including public safety and environmental safety. Bit of a comment in that regard. There is concern on those recreation advocates, those hunting advocates, and those folks in regard to the continued multiple use of public lands to continue for those purposes of recreation and hunting. A lot of the amendments that you see here is in recognition of those concerns and, if you will, a compromise in order to alleviate or at least recognize those interests. I would say, as an aside, sometimes there is conflicting thinking in regard to those lands in Wyoming which are public or our trust lands, our school lands, or commonly referred to as state lands. They take the ability to use those lands and then cast that against federal lands as public lands, and there's sometimes confusion between what we can do on state trust lands and federal lands. Well, then, if my opinion, if this were to be enacted or carried forward in terms of any ownership, those lands would be assumed under those, not under the public trust, but as, and I'm searching for the word now, the other, we have state lands under the public, acquired state lands. So anyway, going on in 18, an economic analysis and concerning the management again of public lands. Going on line 21, on page 2, the identification of the cost directly incident to the management of those lands. And then there was an insertion by the amendment that Senator Bebout talked about. B, line 23, would then become a comparison of the likely cost for the state of Wyoming to manage these identified lands and the costs incurred by the federal government to manage the, such lands. Going on then further, page 3, line 1, now B becomes C, the identification of sources of revenue pay for the administration and the maintenance of those lands by the state of Wyoming, and again an assertion under the Committee of the Whole Amendment, including appropriate fees to change the federal to charge the federal government for management of these specified lands, and I think that received some question and conversation earlier. Line 5, now D, a determination of the amount of any revenue that is currently received by the state of Wyoming or political subdivision thereof in connection with those lands, including but not limited to any payments made in lieu of taxes, mineral royalties, and leases. Mr. Chairman, I'm fully aware that every member on this Senate floor is a good reader. They can read, they can comprehend, but I think it's important for us to go through in light of the amendments pretty carefully, line by line in this bill. So then I would continue to say line 11 under E, having to, this study would then have to do with the identification of any potential revenue which may be received from these lands by the state of Wyoming after the management of the lands by the state of Wyoming and recommending for the distribution of these revenues. 16, identification of the loss of revenue. This has now been changed. The letter has been changed. Due to the permitting delays association caused by analysis of public lands under the National Environmental and Natural Policy Act and other federal regulations. Finally, going on, a consideration of other relevant federal actions or policies determined to the impact of revenues to the state of Wyoming due to federally managed lands. Finally, line 4, page 4, the study shall not include consideration of management as of management by the state of Wyoming of currently congressionally designated wilderness areas, national conservation areas or lands currently administered by the Department of Energy, Department of Defense, Department of Interior, Bureau of Indian Affairs, United States Fish and Wildlife Service, or Natural Public Service. And that's a reference back to what the study will not include. Going on, line 12, the Office of State Lands Investments may engage the services of research consulting firms necessary to carry out this. A lot of conversation in regard to the impartiality of this study were it to be conducted. The Office of State Lands Investment shall consult with the Attorney General's Office, Governor's Office, and County Commissioners. Going on, line 20, bottom of page 4, Office of State Lands Investment shall regularly provide updates of the study to the Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee. And so as this study unfolds, be regular communication back to the Select Committee in regard to the direction and that study. The Office of State Lands and Investment shall then submit a final report to the Select Federal Natural Resource Management Committee no later than November, and that date was changed back from 2017 back to 2016. The final report shall include the study results and recommendations which result that is specified in subsections B and of this section, the Select Natural Resource Management Committee shall consider the recommendations, develop legislation that it feels appropriate, and then that will then be brought before this body for their consideration. Section 2, won't go into all the detail, but the fact is that we have requested an appropriation of $100,000 from the general fund to the Office of State Lands. This appropriation shall only be expended for the purpose of commissioning a study and requiring consultants to assist in the study pursuant to this act. Notwithstanding other provisions of the law, this appropriation shall not be transferred or expended. Unobligated funds remaining from this appropriation will revert back on June 30th as in the amendment 2017. Mr. Chairman, I would then leave this bill for the consideration of the body, and I would certainly yield to my chairman of the select committee, the majority leader, if in fact he has further comments in regard to the bill.
Senator Bevan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Member of the Senate, just a little bit of background and history about the issue of public lands in our state. And it goes back to the Acts of Admission, and we've done a lot of research. And if you look at the Acts of Admission at the eastern states, as part of our country, there's very similar language there about these lands, when they were federal lands, shall be held in trust by the federal government until such point in time they are given to the states. And what that has taken in the past, as the states from the 13 original colonies, as you move west in that area, you would see the Congress would, in fact, take those lands that were held in trust by those states that were federal lands, public lands, and then gave them to the state. A lot of those lands went into the private sector, some stayed in the states. Those kinds of things happen. As you move forward, as you move west, the 13 colonies, and you got to the central part of the country, it happened there. Then you got into sort of the western states, and a lot of that was part of the Louisiana Purchase, which was probably the biggest purchase of land our country's ever seen at the lowest price. I think it was 20 or 30 cents an acre. And that involved a lot of states, the Dakotas, Kansas, Nebraska, Louisiana, I think Arkansas, Mississippi, Texas, of course, has had its own deal. And those particular lands, those particular states, there again, the Act of Admission had similar language. These lands shall be held in trust by the federal government until such point in time as they are given to the states. And then you get to the western states and what we call the federal fault line, and you can see the eastern boundary of Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, New Mexico, everything west of there, the federal land stayed in the hands of the feds. That worked okay, and we had things like the Thunder Basin grasslands, and we had different things going on with the federal government until the mid-70s, Mr. Chairman, when they passed FLTMA, which is the Federal Land, I think, Improvement Modification Act. And what that did, in fact, changed that and said these lands now shall belong to the federal government. A major change, a major difference in terms of what the other states and how they've been treated and the Act of Admission and all those different issues. And so Congress said those lands are ours now, and we're going to administer them based on this act, FLTMA. And included in that was a lot of language about multiple use, sustainably yield, and those kinds of things. And a lot of you, if you look at the statutes, that was brought about the first sagebrush rebellion by the western states. And there was a lot of discussion about it. Our statute said Wyoming shall step up and protect our lands, our states' rights. And I'm getting into an area that I'm uncomfortable with talking about the legality of it. But they sued under the equal footing doctrine, and they lost. They lost that particular lawsuit. And one of the issues you have, if you talk about our state trying to take over the title to those public lands, is the Constitution of the United States has a supremacy clause. And there's one other thing in our own Constitution that says we, the people of Wyoming, forever give up any right, title, and interest to those public lands. The theory that we now have, and it's a theory, and I'm not going to get into the legal discussion of it too much, other than in order to allow the federal government to at some point in time honor their agreement to give the lands back to the states that they're held, that they're holding in trust, that we, the people, would forever give up our right, title, and interest so they would have clear title. That's a whole lot of legal discussion. There's opinions from our staff, and I will tell you they are opinions that say that the Constitution of the U.S. overrides any ability of us to actually take this title to the lands back. I have my opinion. My opinion disagrees a little bit with that. But what this bill does, it doesn't get into the title and transfer of title of the lands. It talks about the management. Mr. Chairman, it seems very clear to me as we work this issue, before we worry about trying to get the title, which is, quite frankly, legally is challenging, to have Congress do it is even more challenging, as we look at management of those lands and see if that makes sense. And that's the purpose, Mr. Chairman, of this study, is to look at the management of those public lands, see if it makes sense, see what the costs are, because we all know the importance of that, and we all understand our states' rights, our 10th Amendment. We all understand the overreach of the federal government, what's going on, how difficult it is to get a resource management plan through the BLM, the EPA, and all those different things. So with that, Mr. Chairman, that's a background. Your Select Committee on Federal Natural Resource Management decided to bring this forward to take the next step in trying to see if this makes sense. I will tell you that there's a lot of states that are doing things more aggressively, that being Utah, Nevada, Montana's considering it, where they're actually talking about the transfer of title. We're not there yet. I don't think this is an appropriate time for Wyoming to take that position, but this is a good thing to look at to help us make that next decision. I would ask for your support and stand for any questions.
Further discussion on the bill. Further discussion on the bill. Question on the bill. Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Emmerich's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate File 56, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Senate File 56 passed the Committee of the Whole. Next bill for our consideration, Senate File 35.
Senate File 35, Security Breach Notification, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election Political Subdivision, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, Pappas, and Scott. Absent, Senator Meyer. Senator Case, Chairman.
Heard the reading of the bill. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate File 35, Security Breach Notification. There is a standing committee amendment, and I ask that it be read in at this time.
Senate File 35, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 3.
Senator Case.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 35 and yield my time to Senator Rothfuss.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is another piece of legislation from the Digital Information Privacy Task Force. It's a companion bill to the Senate File 36 that I discussed a few minutes ago about personal identifying information. And this addresses specifically the security breach notification requirements and what information needs to go out under those requirements to folks here in Wyoming. Mr. Chairman, currently in statute, very little information has to be provided. Typically, it's just a toll-free phone number, and then you can call in and ask some questions if there's a security breach. We addressed what constitutes a security breach in the last legislation where we look at the personal identifiable information, and this basically goes to what then a company would have to do if there was a security breach that they were responsible for. As far as which companies this applies to, it's not just applying to Wyoming corporations. The way a security breach operation works, if you have a multinational company, they understand that there are different breach notifications in each state, and there's no federal breach notification requirement that governs all circumstances. So they're basically going to comb through the state requirements, come up with what is tailored to respond to those citizens that are affected in the state, and then they're going to send that breach notification out to the folks in that state that were affected, depending on what parameters we put in place. When we drafted this, Mr. Chairman, what we basically did was combed what the rest of the states were doing as their best practices and assumed that if other states were asking for information from one of these larger corporations, that we should make sure that our citizens in the state of Wyoming are getting that information as well. And this raises the level of what's being included. Mr. Chairman, you'll see that we have a standing committee amendment once again. We worked well with industry on this to make sure that we had legislation coming forward that they were comfortable with and that was consistent with their best practices and their views. So we have a couple of deletions that I'll get to and then one addition that helps to satisfy some healthcare and HIPAA consistency requirements. Mr. Chairman, when we go to page 2 and work through the bill, it describes what is required in addition to current requirements under E here, that you have a requirement to provide information that be clear and conspicuous and shall include at a minimum Romanet 2, the types of personal identifiable information that were or are reasonably believed to have been the subject of the breach, a general description of the breach incident. That's in general terms was a big concept that industry wanted. They didn't want to have to describe the minute details, but they wanted to provide an overall concept, which we were comfortable with. Approximate date of the breach of security, if that information is reasonably possible to determine. Romanet 5, in general terms, the actions taken by the individual or commercial entity to protect the system containing the personal identifying information from further breaches. Romanet 6, advice that directs the person to remain vigilant by reviewing, and vigilant is a nice word to have in a piece of legislation anytime as possible. We got it here, Mr. Chairman. By reviewing account statements and monitoring credit reports. And Romanet 7, whether notification was delayed as a result of a law enforcement investigation, if that information is reasonably possible to determine at the time of the notice is provided. And that provision is consistent with other parts of statute that allows an entity to delay that notification if it would endanger the investigation itself by doing so. Romanet 8 and little h that you see below are consistent with one another, and what it goes to is a statute that was passed by a state far west of us to require that companies that are breached provide identity theft prevention and mitigation services. So we were trying to be consistent with sort of the top-of-the-line standard, but that state that previously had passed it has not implemented it and may not be able to implement it. We were not interested in leading on this, so we agreed through this amendment that we've got Senate file 35 Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to eliminate Romanet 8 and little h, which is the substantial part of the amendment. So in other words, this aspect of providing identity theft prevention and mitigation services is the subject, the primary subject of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, and it's eliminating that so that we're not leading the charge on this identity theft prevention and we're not ahead of what other states have accomplished. The second aspect of the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 is to replace that little h with a provision that indicates that if you are complying with a security breach notification through HIPAA, so you already have breach notification requirements at the federal level through a HIPAA breach, that will count under this statute. So if you are compliant with a HIPAA breach notification, you are therefore compliant with our breach notification so that those industries that might be affected would not have to have redundant breach notification requirements, and it's taken care of. We do that for certain securities and financial-related notifications as well. Mr. Chairman, once again, that's the bill, and that's the Standing Committee Amendment, those changes. The Standing Committee Amendment brings us into a consistent position, I think, with what industry is comfortable with. So if there are no questions on the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 35, I would ask for the question now.
Question on the amendment. All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 35, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay. Back on the bill. Senate File 35.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And that does conclude the bill. I'd be happy to answer any questions. And if there are no questions, I'd call for it.
Further discussion on the bill? Question on the bill. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with favorable recommendation of Senate File 35, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Next bill up for consideration, Senate Joint Resolution Number 1. Reading clerk, read the bill.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, Right of Privacy Constitutional Amendment, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporation Election and Political Subdivision, reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Case, Hicks, and Pappas. No, Senator Scott. Absent, Senator Meyer. Senator Case, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass recommendation on Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, Right of Privacy Constitutional Amendment. Mr. Chairman, this is another bill, a significant bill that we inherited from the Digital Privacy Task Force. It proposes to change the Wyoming Constitution and add a fundamental right to privacy. This amendment is modeled after the Montana law. We've had this same platform in their constitution for a considerable amount of time. For further explanation, I'd be delighted to yield to the chairman of the Senate chairman of the Digital Privacy Task Force, Senator Rothfuss.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Trying to earn my paycheck today. I've only got about two more bills up there. Mr. Chairman, this is, I think, the most important product of the Digital Information Privacy Task Force was trying to get us to a point where there was an inherent obligation by the state to protect the privacy of folks here in Wyoming, and there isn't that explicit right or obligation by the state. We had a lot of testimony along those lines that in court decisions in the state of Wyoming and in other instances where public institutions were wrestling with release or not, they really didn't have anything to fall back on, even though we all understand that we support right to privacy, we feel like we've got that right to privacy. To the extent that it wasn't called out, it was difficult sometimes to rely on it. And we thought that as we're moving forward and it's becoming more and more difficult to protect privacy rights, it's easier for entities to look into what you're doing, find out details about you that you might think were hidden, track you, and do all of these things remotely without your awareness, listen to your phone, tap the internet, do all of those types of things that are so easy now with modern technology that if we don't have something explicit like this, it's going to be easier and easier for the state to just erode that individual freedom. And so we brought forward this recommended constitutional right to privacy, Mr. Chairman, to the body for your consideration, and hope you'll support it. What we've done here, is, you can see on page 2, the bulk of the concept, is that we would insert an Article 1, Section 40 right of privacy. So this is in Article 1, and it's going to those individual rights that we have. And the way it's called out is parallel language to what the state of Montana used. We thought it was really good language. We tried to improve upon it, but we failed to. And we came up with the right of individual privacy is essential to the well-being of a free society and shall not be infringed without the showing of a compelling state interest. There are 11 states, to our understanding, that have a constitutional right to privacy in their state constitution. Only 2 of those states have the compelling state interest standard. And those are Hawaii and Montana. You may intuitively think that compelling state interest weakens the right to privacy in the way it's written, and that's what I originally thought in committee. But that came from a lack of understanding on my part of how courts weigh various rights. And without any explicit discussion of how they're supposed to weigh them, then you're leaving it up to the court to make that decision of what type of scrutiny you hold it to. In a circumstance where you provide this language without the showing of a compelling state interest, testimony that we received indicates that holds the court to a strict scrutiny standard, which is the highest level of scrutiny, which basically indicates that if there's any other way for the state to accomplish an objective without infringing on this right, then the onus is upon the state to do so. So while intuitively we might think it's a weakening clause, our understanding from the legal folks that testified to us in our committee is this is the strongest language we could use. And that the concern that we should have is whether we want it this strong or whether we don't. But this is the strongest language we could come up with, and that's what we decided we wanted to bring to the body because we understand certainly that to many folks in Wyoming, this right to privacy is important. Mr. Chairman, I'll stop there and open it up to the body for questions and discussion. I'd be happy to answer any questions as they arrive.
Further discussion on the resolution. Further discussion on the resolution. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, speaking on and against the resolution, Mr. Chairman, I was no vote in the Joint Interim Committee on this bill, no vote in committee here, and Mr. Chairman, as time has gone on, I have gradually learned more about this concept and understanding better what's going on here and what's at stake here. And, Mr. Chairman, the more I learn, the stronger I feel that passing this as a constitutional amendment would be a mistake. I have three reasons. First, I don't really see a demonstrated need for it. I can't think where the lack of this has hurt us, although as time goes on, I feel less strongly about that and more strongly about the other provisions. Second, this is a very broad provision. It's very difficult, I think, to predict how the courts are going to interpret this. We can look at some of the other states. Montana does have this provision, but they've got some other provisions, particularly with regard to open meetings, open records, public records, and some other provisions that tend to offset this so that their courts are faced with a balancing act in their constitution, which we wouldn't have. And that leads to the third thing, and that is if this has unintended consequences, which I think it will. If it's in the Constitution, it's very hard for us to back up. If we were to pass a statute with these provisions and saying our other actions got to be conditioned on that, we could back up, and I think over time you'd find we'd pass some statutes that say, notwithstanding, you can't do that with a constitutional provision. You're stuck with it. It takes 2/3 and a vote of the people to reverse it. And this is going to be, on its face, superficially, very popular for the people. I think it'll be very hard to back up on it. And, Mr. Chairman, just looking at some of the things that may be unintended consequences, I'm particularly sensitive in the health area. And I've heard colleagues from other states complaining about privacy laws that were getting in the way of their ability to treat patients and to even find patients, Mr. Chairman, that were in real need of other social services help, including some of the suicide prevention things. You have to worry about that. You have to worry about, does this have consequences in the education area for parents' ability to access data about their children? You know, we got plenty of problems with the feds on that score already. This could make it worse by adding an unpredictable state constitutional consequence. I don't know how our courts are going to construe some of that. Compelling state interest is a strict scrutiny test, and you may well get some mischief there. And just take the standing committee amendment we passed on the previous bill. What it did was to say that, yeah, we've got a set of privacy requirements, breach requirements, but in the healthcare area, we'll let the federal HIPAA govern and not our state thing. You pass this, you've added a state thing on top of the HIPAA protections. Couldn't conflict with them, but it sure could add things to them if the courts interpret it wrong. And I think we need a degree of caution here. I think we need more experience to see if we really need it. And, Mr. Chairman, I think it would be much better first brought forth as a statute where we could find out, where we could back up if it was going to have unintended consequences. And I recognize all of us, you know, we like our privacy. We don't want it violated. But this constitutional amendment, I think you will find, has consequences that we cannot at this point interpret.
Senator Kinski.
Mr. Chairman, I thank you. I just have questions for the senator from the ivory tower. The first is, why is the U.S. constitutional protections regarding right of privacy insufficient? There's longstanding Supreme Court cases there. The right of privacy is actually fashioned by the Supreme Court out of a presumed penumbra of rights emanating from the 14th Amendment and extending through the 1st to the 10th. And if you don't understand that, I don't either. But it did bring a host of unintended consequences. While we all welcome the right to privacy, like the senator from Bates Creek says, there are some unintended consequences. And out of that, at the federal level, came Roe versus Wade, which was fashioned from a perceived right of privacy at the federal level. So I do want to understand why U.S. Supreme Court constitutional protection is not sufficient. Second, why a legislative remedy would not be sufficient. And third, why the language of the proposed amendment goes beyond simply digital privacy. I'm concerned as to, again, the scope of the proposed amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Esquivel.
Chairman. Yeah, it was a couple of thoughts that just went through my mind in regard to this proposal. I was just wondering what effect this proposal would have on, for example, the law that we just passed, prescription drug monitoring program. What effect would it have on a program such as that? And what effect would it have on, like, for example, no-fly lists and programs of that nature? Thank you.
Further discussion on the resolution? Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I actually didn't hear all those, the last question. And, but I'd like to urge us to take this up. If you all gather up your Constitution and you look through the fundamental rights, the Declaration of Rights that we have in Article 1 of our Constitution, you know, it's beautifully written. We have, it's like there's more enumerated rights in the Wyoming Constitution than there are in the U.S. Constitution. It's done on purpose. And these rights were given to us, or maybe recognized to belong to us, by the framers of our Constitution. And they talked about things like equal political rights, and they talked about privacy in the sense, I think, you have to read between the Mr. Chairman, you have to read between the lines a little bit. But their concept of privacy was more about being secure in your home, secure against search and seizure, protection against habeas corpus, you know, due process of law. That was the privacy concerns of their age. And they did a great job. The privacy concerns of our age are a little bit different. The privacy concerns of our age are things like, can the Department of Transportation sell our license plate numbers to market, or can they, you know, to anybody that wants to send us and sell us something? Are our information about, is my college transcript a public document? Is my record of interaction with the state of Wyoming public? We've talked about expungements. Are they really go away? You know, there's just many, many things where privacy now is not about search and seizure and all the being secure in your possessions and your home. It's about your ephemeral presence in the internet, your data presence, which anybody, you know, Google yourself, see what's out there. This doesn't affect private entities. It only affects the state, governments and their subdivisions. There's a balance that's been established in our neighboring state for a long time. They actually had their amendment prior to the digital age, or the widespread digital age, and they've worked through it. Many, many court decisions that have relied on it. Hasn't been a huge change in things, but it has been a recognition of this privacy that really is the way search and seizure exists now, in a way, at least my thinking of it. I think it'll all work out. Yes, there might be some evolution. One place where I think we might have evolution is that in terms of law enforcement, they might have to get more warrants than they used to have to get, especially for motor vehicles. That might change possibly. I don't know that that's true, but I think it probably should. I learned the other day that when you go to get your license plates, they routinely send your vehicle identification number through the National VIN inspection to see if your vehicle's stolen. That feels like a little bit like my government spying on me. That surprised me. Why isn't the federal good enough? Well, I wish it was, but why isn't the United States federal government tracking all of our telephone calls and have the ability to see what you watch, what you check out of the library? I find that unacceptable in a free society. They need probable cause, they need warrants, and I hope that this does stand up for our citizens in that area. I think the health thing is a big bugaboo. This couldn't possibly come closer than the existing federal law on HIPAA regarding privacy. And believe me, I've been all the way through that every 6 ways from Sunday during the past year, and that is a pain in the... It is a very difficult situation, Mr. Chairman. But I don't see that being challenged by this. Mr. Chairman, I hope we keep moving this along and talking about it. Our people deserve it. It's a different age, Mr. Chairman. We need to come to the times.
Senator Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, first of all, kudos to my fellow delegation member from Sheridan-Johnson County. In my 12 years in the legislature, it's the first time I've heard anybody ever cite the emanations from the penumbra. That's very good. Mr. Chairman, I've got two questions now. One just came up from my bunkmate here, and I don't see how passing this or not passing this is going to stop the feds and the NSA from doing whatever it is they're doing on our phone calls or anything else. They're not going to suddenly go, oh, Wyoming has a constitutional provision, so we're not going to spy on them. But the other question I had from yesterday is on page, it's repeated twice, on page lines page 2, lines 5 and 6, and also down on the language that would go down on the ballot. And it says that basically your privacy shall not be infringed without a showing of compelling state interest. And I'm wondering, Mr. Chairman, going back to yesterday when the president was referring to a false pregnancy, if indeed this is not actually opening a door and causing our privacy to actually be opened up, depending on court decisions down the line on exactly what a compelling state interest is. And I was wondering, not being a lawyer, I was wondering if somebody would address that, please.
Further discussion on the resolution. Further discussion. Senator Rothfuss.
I was hoping one of our lawyers would pop up and answer that question for us, but I see y'all looking around at the ceiling and such, so that didn't take. Maybe next time. Mr. Chairman, answering a few of those questions, with regard to stopping the feds, we're not going to be able to stop the feds, but at the same time, there's a lot of cooperation you might want to consider as to whether or not we're just freely handing information over to the federal government when they come and ask, or whether there's a burden on behalf of the state to protect your individual privacy. And it seems that in my preference, and hopefully this body's, and I certainly know that my constituents feel this way, I think they'd rather see it that the state is obligated and is trying to protect our privacy to the greatest degree possible, and that there has to be some type of compelling interest and some real pressure before they would disclose that information. We, as to why we need this and why it needs to be in the Constitution as opposed to the statute, The statutory level is just at the same level as any other statute. So two statutes in conflict, you're going to end up just going with the one that is probably most specific. And there is no overarching consideration of saying we've got a privacy right. Oh, but here in statute it says we have to give this information up. We've got the longitudinal data system or whatever else. We're going to facilitate that. When you have it in the Constitution, that's going to be taken seriously by the courts, particularly when you use the compelling state interest clause. Now, my understanding of it, again, from talking to lawyers and asking that exact same question that my friend from the North asked, this is supposed to be the strictest we can do. And if it turns out that that's not true and that removing that clause makes it stronger, by all means, let's remove the clause if it turns out that I'm wrong, because the intent that we had on the Digital Information Privacy Task Force was to keep this language as strong as it possibly could be. And I'm open to strengthening it in any way possible. But with regard to why aren't the U.S. constitutional privacy protections sufficient, it does go back to what my colleague on the task force talked about, which is that hasn't protected us in a lot of ways so far. And there are plenty of things that are just legal. They're just fine for the state to do. Selling your DMV picture and address to a corporation so that they can use that for advertising purposes, that's legal. That happens in other states. It's the kind of thing that's just fine, unless we explicitly preclude it, because there's no onus of privacy. We would have to go into statute and say, thou shalt not. And then something else can come along, like what we heard about license plate monitoring. So in a state to our west, there are companies that are hired by the state to simply record every license plate that goes by on the interstate, every single one, keep a log of when it goes by, what day, and maintain that database. Why? We're just fishing. There might be something interesting that's coming up. Obviously, if somebody's a felon, we'll send some police after it, but there's nothing that's precluding that company from then selling that information or the state to sell that information so they know when you're leaving and returning from work, or when you're going across town, or what the driving habits are, or anything else. Because, again, there's no presumption of privacy, so why wouldn't you simply collect that information and sell it? These are the types of topics that we wrestled with in the task force. And what we decided on that task force was that if we had an onus on the state to start with a standard of privacy, instead of an onus on us to patch all of the individual holes when we see a problem with privacy, that would put our citizens in a stronger position. This amendment helps to do that, Mr. Chairman, and I hope the body will support it.
Further discussion on the resolution. Further discussion? Question. Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Case's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with a favorable recommendation of Senate Resolution Number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
Senate Resolution Number 1 has failed the Committee of the Whole.
Division.
Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Thirteen. All those opposed, please stand. Sixteen. Pursuant to Senate Rule 6-5, having failed the standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson District 2?
No.
Anderson District 28?
No.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
Kraft?
Aye.
Dockstetter?
No.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Kinski.
No.
Landon.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Pappas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
No.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Scott.
No.
Von Platern.
Aye.
Wasserberger.
No.
President Nicholas.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 no.
Pursuant to Senate rule, or Senate Joint Resolution number 1, having failed a roll call vote pursuant to Senate Rule 6-5, is deemed indefinitely postponed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Senate beg leave to rise and sit again.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Mr. President.
Do we have any messages? Do you have any messages? After lunch?
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Any announcements? Senator Cooper?
Mr. President, your travel committee number 6 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. To consider Senate File 105, Game and Fish Roundup Program, and Senate File 114, Game and Fish Resident Preference Points.
Senator Ross?
We'll meet immediately in S-11 to hear a re-referral, Senate File 50, Tribal Liaisons.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, your Committee Number 8, Transportation, will meet upon adjournment this afternoon in Room S-14 to consider Senate File 93, County Road Fund Pavement Management, Senate File 2, Bar and Grill Liquor Licenses.
Senator Emmerich.
Mr. President, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands, Water Resources, will meet tomorrow upon adjournment in Room S-15 to consider Senate File 126, Water Quality.
Senator Von Platern.
Mr. President, Committee Number 9, Minerals and Economic Development, will meet in about 20 minutes in Room S-18 to consider Senate File 117, Air Quality Construction Permitting.
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 3, Revenue, will have a meeting tomorrow, 30 minutes after the noon recess in Room 302. This will be a presentation by our Director of Revenue. We had this presentation as a committee in Lander during the interim. It was a great presentation on severance tax and ad valorem tax, and all are invited to attend that if you so desire.
Further announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion is adopted. The Senate shall stand in recess until 2 p.m.